Hi, this is Ellen Ganavalis standing in for Jacqueline Howard. I don't know how you say it. Howard. This is about Greyhounds, the podcast about Greyhounds. Last episode, we spoke with Thelma Shaw from Galway.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. Okay, everyone. So this is Jacqueline Howard. And that was Ellen Ganopoulos, who has decided that she could do a better job than me introducing the show. Now, typically, I'd agree with her, except today, I'm not in that kind of mood. So, welcome to About Greyhounds, the podcast about greyhounds. I'm Jacqueline Howard, as I said prior. On our last episode, we did have Ellen on, and we also had Thelma Shaw from Galgo and Pedenco Support talking to us about Galgos and the difference between Galgos and Greyhounds and some of the work that Thelma is doing to help the Galgos get out of Spain and into homes in the United States and the different groups that she's working with here in the U.S. to get that done. And Ellen, we had mentioned on our last episode, actually does a lot of volunteer work for Galgo Pedenco Support by doing actual transports. So what do I mean by that? Well, Ellen, as you heard, is back. And while she's not good at doing my job, she's really, really good at doing her job. So, and in case you can't tell, Ellen and I are good friends, and we laugh a lot. But, of course, this is a serious topic.
Well, you're funny.
Well, yeah. Well, one of us thinks she's funny. So it is a serious topic, and Ellen is doing some unbelievable work to help Galgos and Pedencos in Spain. And as you heard on the last episode, and if you didn't hear it, go back and please listen to it. It's fascinating listening to Thelma and Ellen talk about what's happening in Spain along with the rescue efforts. I lost my train of thought. See, maybe I'm not as much of a professional as I thought. Yeah. So anyway, the serious topic is Ellen talking to us today about the transport. And first, I just want to say to Ellen, in all seriousness, congratulations. I know that you are coming up on your 25th transport of Galgos and Pedencos from Spain into the States.
Well, thank you.
And I know, one day, Ellen, I had shot a ton of questions at you all about what it's like to bring the dogs over. And if I'm asking those questions, I'm sure other people in their heads probably have that question, like, how do the logistics work? What's it like? How do you get the dogs? That kind of thing. So I thought it'd be great to have you on the show, coming off the heels of our episode together with Thelma to talk about the transporting. So the first question I have for you is, how did you get involved in the transport of Galgos and Pedencos from Spain into the U.S.?
Well, I'm somebody that has experience with a lot of travel. I enjoy travel, and I often travel solo. So doing international travel and kind of working with the different customs and the different airports really wasn't that big of a challenge for me because I had the experience. I was asked if I could possibly handle doing a transport. And from there, I found out that it was something that, you know, I not only enjoyed, but that I seemed to be doing rather well. Everybody has their superpower. My superpower is, of course, to be able to sit still for hours at a time, motionless, strapped to an airplane seat. And not all heroes wear capes, as they say. So, yes, I will be coming up on my 25th transport. All of these transports are from JFK Airport in New York to Madrid. Those are the two airports that I go between.
So, and obviously you live in the New York, New Jersey metro area. So going out of New York City via JFK, going out of coming into, makes sense. So how long are the flights from, and it sounds like they're direct.
They are.
Okay. So going from New York City to Madrid, what's that flight?
A flawless flight is going to run between 7 and 8 hours of flying time.
You said flawless.
Oh, yeah. Well.
What can happen? what are some things that can happen?
Well, there can be delays, and a delay on the way out, of course, is no big deal. I'm by myself. Coming back in is another story. And I have to say that any issues that I have had have been very few and very far between. But when they do arise, they're usually pretty interesting. One of my last flights, unfortunately, it was looking great. Our dogs had been boarded. I was on the flight. We were on the runway, and there was a mechanical failure on the plane. So now you're taking into consideration that the dogs have been crated and they've been boarded, and now that time has been spent. Now we have to figure out what we're going to do with six Galgos and Pedenkos that are about to be taken off the plane if they're not going to be able to get on a plane immediately to continue their journey. And the irony of that flight is that the flight that I took coming over to Spain previous was the flight that gave me airline status. So I was actually on the list to get rebooked first. There was one flight leaving that afternoon, the magical flight, that only some people were going to be getting on. And fortunately, me and the dogs, we did get on that flight. And
nice.
They were just delayed by maybe 3 or 4 hours.
So not bad. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me go back to the beginning. How did you get involved with transport of the Galgos and Pedenkos?
Well, I was asked if I could be a transporter because, again, it was something that people knew that I liked to travel. I would, at that point, you know, I really enjoyed working with Thelma. I have to say that much. She's been a pleasure to deal with from day one. She's very good at, she's the one who does the logistics. She's the one who finds the flights. She puts me on the flight. She says, hey, Thelma, Ellen, you're going to Spain in a couple months. And I say, okay, Thelma, I'm going to Spain. And I go to Spain. And my flights are usually a day long, maybe 2 days long. I do a lot that are direct return. I fly over, I grab the doggies, I get back on the plane, and I bring them back to New York. So that's pretty much really not a big deal on how I got involved in it. I was just pretty much asked.
Okay. So, and again, I'm always curious about the logistics, how things mm-hmm. work.
Sure.
So Thelma will call you. She'll say, hey, Ellen, next month, I need you to go to Spain. Here's the date. She'll give you the date, I assume?
Yes, she will. And we are limited to transporting in the spring only. And the fall only. Temperatures are very important for safety of the doggies.
Well, so. That makes complete sense, mm-hmm. right? Like with the, I'm not sure about the weather in Spain, but I imagine being so southern, it's probably very hot in the summer.
Actually, Madrid is rather similar where we live. Yeah.
Well, that's true. Actually, if you were to go across the globe from New Jersey, New York,
and I have,
and do the straight line,
yes,
you're right. We are like, we could wave
very
at Portugal,
similar.
Right? Mm-hmm. Which is, of course, right next to Spain.
It is. Last I looked.
Thank you. And that's my geographical lesson for the day. But yeah, like we can stand on our beach and wave, and you know the Portuguese can
wave back.
Yeah, we won't see each other, but we can do it, which is nice. So Thelma will call you, and she'll say, Ellen, I need you to go next month to Spain. Here are the dates. So then is she booking the flight for you? Are you booking the flight?
She's actually booking the flight, and we are using Iberia Airlines exclusively. Financially, it makes sense. The tickets and the crate costs are the most cost-effective. It's the direct flight.
Nice.
That is important as
yep.
well.
Yeah, safety.
poor Thelma. She'll book the flight, but you have to book the crates and the dogs separately.
Huh.
And I have to say that Iberia does have lovely planes. I do say they are very nice. They are very nice planes. However, sometimes the booking process can be a little tedious in that there's really not a flow. It's done piecemeal. And there is a waiting in between. It's like, okay, well, we have our passenger on there, but now we need to add our dogs and our crates, and then it's going to be piecemeal. And then finally, she will get the complete pie, crust
okay.
and filling, and away we go. We have
okay.
ourselves to transport.
But Thelma is handling the flight logistics for you and the dogs.
Yes, she is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I assume you're probably sleeping on the plane, but, you know, 7-8 hour flight.
Am I?
Well... We don't know what you're doing out there, you know, quite frankly. But
I probably don't either.
I'm bothering the other passengers. But you're in the air 7 or 8 hours. You've been
sure.
traveling, probably knowing the airport system, at least in the States. You've been battling in the airport for about 2 hours, you know, going through security and
sure.
and all of that. So you've
sure.
been traveling for you know, a while. By the time you get to Spain. So is somebody meeting you at the airport with some dogs and you're getting on the plane and jumping, you know, and heading right back? Or are you staying overnight?
Well, it depends upon which flight I come in on. A perfect flight for me, or a perfect transport for me, would come in at 10:30 in the morning.
Okay.
I would arrive in Madrid. I would get through. I would meet the dogs that are departing. And I would get on the flight that leaves at 12:30. However, that's impossible. So, I will not be getting my perfect flight. And unfortunately, I usually wind up coming in at around 6 o'clock in the morning.
Nice.
And I'll have like maybe 2 or 3 hours until the transport teams come to the airport with the dogs for me to meet them. And you would think, well, that's nice, you know, a little bit of downtime, which basically I actually wind up trying to find a place to sleep for a few hours. And unfortunately, I will tell you this much, all of the chairs in the Madrid airport have armrests.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I think that's done purposefully so people cannot sleep on them.
You can try to
slide under them.
I've seen
some people who are small enough to slide under them, but if I do, they're going to have to call the fire department. So basically, I just spend a couple hours, you know, on my computer or just getting something to eat and drink, and then I'm pretty much ready to just turn around and come back. That's a quick turnaround flight. Or I might have one night that I spend there, in which case I'm just basically jet lagged and sleeping and hanging out at the airport, hotel, and then, you know, back in the morning to meet the teams with the dogs.
So who's booking the hotel? Are you booking that, or is Thelma including that while she's booking?
No, each transporter is different.
Okay.
I donate anything other than the cost of the plane ticket and the crates. Other than that, my personal expenses are donated.
Okay. So you're booking your own hotel if you need to stay there.
Yes.
In your case, you donate the overnight at the hotel.
Yeah,
okay.
Everything.
Okay. And then you said the transporters will meet you at the airport. Is that the same as you stay over? They're still meeting you at the airport?
Yes.
Not the transporters. I'm sorry. The
It's representatives from the shelters where the dogs are coming from.
Okay.
It's usually 6 dogs that I'm going to be bringing back with me.
Is that the maximum a single person is allowed?
No, I think it could be up to 8.
Coming from Spain into the U.S.
Yes, I believe it is. Okay. And there are only so many slots allowed for the dog crates. Unfortunately, there is another transporter. He's done many transports as well. They wound up taking the dog crates off because they didn't have enough room for the luggage. And when he got things like that can happen. Of course, the dogs were fine.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I also want to bring up is that before we leave, I mean, until I'm in the air with these dogs, those teams are on standby at the airport. In the case where I had the flight that was canceled, they were maybe 20 minutes to a half an hour away. We're having lunch where they could just come back and reclaim the dogs.
Oh, that's great.
If we needed to. Yeah.
So you're not left hanging. The dogs aren't left hanging. Like, there's someone to come and help.
Oh, yeah. The safeguards are all in place.
So you're not. So you don't need to go around to the different shelters that Thelma works with to pick up dogs. They're coming.
They do come.
They're
to
coming
the airport
to you
to meet me. Correct.
And then, you know, we recently talked to Sonia Stratman. Mm-hmm. In Florida with Elite Greyhounds, who has been doing a couple of transports for Candy Cane Rescue coming out of China into the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And she had told us that before the dogs get to the airport, there's a lot of paperwork that has to be done prior to them being checked in. Who in Spain, on the Spain side, is doing that paperwork? Like, make sure they have their passports and everything else that has to get done?
That would be the individual shelters.
Great.
They meet me with the dogs. And yes, a lot of people don't know that, but the doggies do actually have their own
passports.
Yeah, they look like just like people passports. They're really adorable. And these are going to be asked for. I know this when I get to New York. And they're going to want to see the minimum requirements, which is basically the rabies. They need to see that this dog is coming into the United States with the rabies shot current. There is the paperwork that I fill out. Also, it goes on the crate. They really do go above and beyond just to make sure that if the crate was mislocated, wound up somewhere else, there would be information on that crate.
Got it. Okay.
To say, you know, when was this dog last fed? When did this dog last exercise? When did he go to the bathroom? And I will fill all that out when I'm at the airport. Yeah, and they stick it right on there.
Do you need to check the dogs in, or are the...
That's where the fun happens. That's the most exciting part of the trip, is
checking
boy. The dogs
in. Okay.
Yeah. Well, what happens is the dogs do need to go through security, very much like a person does. And it's not just a dog, but it's the dog and the crate. and the airport is going to, they call it the filter in Spain. So the dog is going to be taken to a specialty filter, which has a little bit of a, like almost like a conveyor belt that the crates are going to go on. I am going to be going through as well. I am going to have to take each dog out of each crate. I'm going to have to put the crate through. The crate will be inspected, and then I'm going to have to take each dog through. That is pretty, that's where the comical events happen, because, you know, as anyone who has a greyhound knows, if you want to bring the dog into a space that it really doesn't want to go into, it pretty much sprouts legs. Yes. It becomes a spider for about, you know, 30 seconds to a minute of its life. And I need, some of them do not want to go through the metal detector. It's not small. It's wide. It's big. It's fine. But they just, I think they're just hassling me, quite frankly. So I have to pick them up. And also the weight of the dog, very important to me as a transporter, because I know I'm going to be lifting that dog rather soon. So I pick the Galgo up, and we go through, but then the legs cannot touch the sides. So I'm stuffing legs in, I'm folding legs up, and I'm trying to get them through, and finally we make it. And, you know, people say, oh, couldn't it be a traumatic experience for the dog? Absolutely not. I put the dog down. They're looking at me like, can we go through again? That was fun. And I'm like, okay. But I have to say, the one thing about the airports in Madrid is the security, it's not consistent.
Okay.
Every time you go through, and I always say as a transporter, one of the most important words that you can remember is inconsistent and fluid. That you want to just be compliant with whatever the regulations might be that day. And it could be different than every other day that you have been there.
Sure.
And the easiest way to get through is just to be compliant. They're not going to ask you to do anything that is going to stop you from doing your transport. It might just be inconvenient. It might just be heavy. Who knows what it could be. But I will say that in every case, the security officers that I have worked with, I've gotten to know some of them. They're just very, very kind people. The people in the airport, very compassionate. Many of the agents as well. They want to see the dogs. They want to pet the dogs before we even put them in the crates at the airport. And when I take them out down in security, in the secret security area that nobody gets to see, they're petting them and being very affectionate and compassionate to them as well, and wishing them, you know, vaya con Dios.
Vaya con Dios. Sure. Yep. So the security teams must, at this point, know who you are. Like, do you see the same folks over and over?
I do. And I honestly, I really don't speak a word of Spanish, which, though I'm going to update that, I only speak dog Spanish, which means I only know words that have something to do with dogs. I'm like, poquito perro. Poquito, I think that means small dog.
Small dog,
pretty,
yes.
I think so.
Yes.
It's pretty much it.
It's perro poquito.
It's, oh, see? They rather enjoy my lack of Spanish when I come through, but I have, you know, most of the time you can communicate with a smile, you can communicate, and we have used, believe it or not, we have used the Google Translate on our phones.
Sure.
To communicate, and that's been just phenomenal, and it's just really super people down there.
Oh, that's great.
Working with them. Yeah.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So they get on the plane, you get on the plane.
Yes, that's that is another tricky part. The delays in Madrid can happen. The biggest delay that I can find would be at customs. And there are days when I can get through customs in 10 minutes. But there have been days when I have been at customs and it has taken over an hour. And I cannot tell you how many times I have run down. I've thought, oh, I have 2 hours to get to my plane. I've gone through security, I've gotten my dogs through, and I have still had to run down the the airport trying to get to my gate. Because, of course, my gate is the furthest gate in the airport. I think they actually, it's like Legos, I think they actually add gates as I run down.
There's somebody watching you on a monitor,
yes, they're like,
just laughing.
Expand it, you know. I have extra shoes, you know, so when they start falling off, I can put other shoes on, and, you know, the bottle of water, people standing, handing me bottles of water and towels as I
you get your
running.
Number bib on.
Yeah, my number bib. And a lot can happen between, the customs, going through customs and getting to the gate. And the best part, though, I always say, is that we go through the, where they have the perfumes they sell, and the duty-free. duty-free shop, so I'll be grabbing fragrances on the way. Because, you know, I've been covered in dog for the past 2 hours. So I'm like, oh, this should smell nice on the plane. You know, and I just kind of go, and I'm smelling good when I get there. And I probably look like the happiest passenger they've ever seen when I finally get there. And I will actually sit at the window, and I can see them load the dogs onto the plane.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Actually,
okay.
Yeah, it's really a pretty fascinating way that they do it. They have, it's a flatbed lift that they use. They don't put them on the conveyor belts or anything else like that. So the dogs are actually nicely secured to a flatbed lift. They lift it up. Yeah, they put it in, and I can see the handlers. They're very... very nice with them. So,
and the dogs aren't scared in their crates.
No, and that's something that I get asked a lot too. And you know, Telma and the shelters they're not going to pick a dog for transport that it would be unsettling. They're not going to pick a dog that is uncomfortable or unwilling to be in the crate for long amounts of time. And I have to say that on every transport, you know, they go in that crate happy to go into the crate, and they come out happy.
That's great.
Yeah, there's very sweet dogs. When they get to New York, too, there's a team of folks there that I've been looking at and working with for years as well. Always, always happy to see the dogs. And so many people are asking, you know, tell us about these dogs. Where are they from? What is going on? A lot of people think they're my own pets. And I have to explain, nope, these guys are getting...
You're just back and forth to Spain with these six
dogs
every time.
I like to travel with an entourage, yes. That would be it.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to back up a little bit.
Sure.
So, you know, you had said there's some dogs, obviously, like that may be nervous, not good travelers, just like people.
Yeah.
We see it in our own greyhounds. What about those dogs that probably shouldn't be on a plane? Do they actually get adopted to people in Spain?
Yes, and that's something that Telma had talked to me about as well, is that the plight of the Galgo, as we know, is a sad plight.
Sure.
They're not really a dog that would be considered a pet or for being a pet in Spain. It's a dog that's considered, like she said, as a tool. That is changing. People are considering the Galgo. They're saying, well, that might be a very nice dog to have as a pet. So hopefully, and I am always hopeful, the people of Spain are going to be embracing the Galgo as a pet a little bit more. Yes, there are many that are just not going to be getting on a plane, and they're not going to be going anywhere because it would be too stressful. You know, it just would. And those are not the dogs that I'm going to see. So, yes, it is going to be imperative that they get adopted out locally.
Right. And I do know many Galgos get adopted to other countries in Europe.
Sure,
like some of our partners in the UK take in.
Yes.
Take in dogs. And by partners,
Holland,
I mean Holland.
Canada.
France.
Some of the dogs that I have transported actually have wound up in Canada. The families will meet me at JFK.
Nice.
Of them, or sometimes they go to the foster home for the overnight, and then they are moved on to another flight to wind up where they're going. My last transport, it was funny, I was there, and there was another lady standing there with dogs, you know, Galgos in crates. And I'm like, oh, hi, you know, you're waving at each other. And it turned out that she was going to be on the flight right before mine going to California.
Oh, wow.
Hers. Yes, it was really kind of neat. Very nice lady. And they actually asked me, would you mind, even though I had gotten there a little earlier and I was checked in a little earlier, they said, would you mind if we took our dogs first because her flight is going to be before yours? And of course, you know, we will do whatever we need to get these dogs safely and quickly where they're going.
Are there requirements for any kind of quarantine either in Spain or in the U.S.?
I'm going to say I don't know about Spain. I know what I'm given. I'm given clear health records.
Sure.
I don't believe that there is no quarantine in the United States.
Yep.
However, within the past month or two, there have been changes as far as bringing dogs into the United States. And there's a little backstory on that, which is interesting, if not inconvenient, but interesting. When I came through my last transport, things had changed. We used to be able to take the dogs through. The custom agents could inspect the dogs, inspect the crates, make sure that there was nothing happening that would be a risk to anyone with these dogs coming into the United States, and they did a fine job. However, things changed, and there is now a facility at JFK called the ARC.
Sure.
And the policy has changed in where the dogs cannot just go through me, through the exit into their next destination. They have to go to the ARC.
Okay.
And they have to have a broker getting the dogs in. It's an added expense, certainly, to the whole process, and inconvenience, of course, to the whole process. In speaking to the agents, I will just tell you vaguely that security risks would be people using the crates or the dogs to smuggle things into the country.
Sure.
And from what I understand, that has happened.
Oh.
Certainly not in our arena, you know, which is the Galgo and the Padenko. It hasn't happened there, but it certainly has happened in other arenas. So security is a little bit tighter. Inspection is a little bit more, but still the dogs do get through, if only with a little bit of a more cost and a little bit more of a delay.
So they're so the animals, the dogs in this case, mm-hmm. they're going to the ARC, which is a facility based
yes,
at JFK.
It is.
So they're going to the ARC, which is in essence a big kennel that can have yeah. dogs, cats, horses.
I was there too. It actually is rather nice.
I've seen photos.
Yeah.
It does look
mm-hmm.
pretty state of the
nice.
Art. Mm-hmm. So they're there. They're getting probably water and fed and walked or whatever while the broker assesses the paperwork. I hear a lot about dogs coming in from Spain and China going into JFK a lot. Now, why is JFK the airport that for at least New York City, Connecticut, actually New England, seems like all of
sure.
the dogs coming in are going into JFK.
I'm going to say it has a lot to do with direct flights.
Okay.
That is not something that you could do. You have to have a direct flight. The flight time has to be as minimal as possible.
Okay.
Also, JFK is a nice hub for people. You know, let's say you could get a direct flight into
yeah.
Philadelphia. A lot of the groups that are taking the dogs from there. I do a lot with Grateful Greyhounds in Long
sure.
Island.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the dogs wind up there. So they're right there. So it does work.
Got it.
Out.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. If you're on
yeah.
Long Island,
mm-hmm.
JFK's
sure.
perfect. Okay. Got it. And then finally, Ellen, so you've gotten through all the hurdles,
mm-hmm.
the long flights, getting the dogs. Everyone is now at the airport safely and through customs and the ARC.
Sure. And I smell lovely.
And you smell lovely. It's just divine. You're a sight to behold. Now, are you taking six dogs home with you?
No. I am meeting the team at JFK.
Okay.
So basically, there's three parts to this.
Okay.
We have our teams that meet in Madrid at the airport. We have me. I'm the middle. And then we have our teams that meet at JFK.
Okay.
At least in the past. Now that the ARC is involved, basically, I think I haven't done it yet. My last transport in the spring was when I was told when I arrived at JFK that a broker was going to be needed and an ARC was going to be involved, which was a surprise to me and everyone else involved. The dogs were fine. But it was, like I said, it was a delay. In the past, I have met the teams at JFK. They're waiting outside. The crates are taken off the plane. I go out with I believe they're called the sky caps, and we just roll them on out, and away they go.
So they're basically the crates are placed on top on this
on the
what
roller,
would you call it a roller cart
yeah.
thing,
mm-hmm.
and
sure.
outside of the airport facility are the folks from representing different rescue groups that are taking dogs.
Yes, they're kind of standing, you know, when you would come out and there would be people holding up signs,
yes.
like, you know, welcome grandma.
So there's people holding up a sign like, Ellen!
It's amazing. not only they've got signs, they have like streamers, balloons. Sometimes they hand me a cake, I weep, it's beautiful. Yeah.
Nice,
yeah.
nice. Okay, so nobody can see my face. But I'm just giving Ellen the A-OK face. So, well, they should give you at least a Diet Coke. I know you love Diet Coke, like something refreshing
yeah.
after what you've been through.
And I cannot tell you, that's like gold to me. And I actually travel with my own. In Spain, they have, it's
Coke Light, yeah.
It has like the saccharine in it. I think it has that, if you're not used to it, you get that funny, you know, taste.
Yeah.
Which I think half of my luggage, I mean, I'll put like a 2-liter in there and they're probably going, you know, security's probably like, this lady's just nuts.
Yeah.
or really Coke, likes your Diet Coke.
Yeah, Coke Light is not Diet Coke.
It isn't.
It
no.
isn't. It isn't. But refreshing just the same in a pinch.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. In all seriousness, Ellen, I know you're coming up on 25.
I am.
That is a huge deal.
And 26, by the way. We have two officially scheduled. They're going to be quick turnarounds. Right. They're going to be quick turnarounds, and I'm looking forward to doing them. I have to say the most rewarding part is... Well, there's two rewarding parts. I wouldn't say that one is more rewarding than the other. The rescue groups that give the dogs to me, there are tears. These are some people who, they love the dogs. They have been in their care for many months, sometimes years. And it is their parting, and they have to trust. They have to trust that, you know, they're going to be going to a better life. And it is bittersweet, for sure. But the beauty of it is, you know, with the internet and Facebook and everything, they usually get to see their, you know, their dog that they just adopted out, you know, loved and cuddled and, you know, beautiful collars and all that. The fanciful things that dogs that were more or less thrown away are now living absolutely beautiful lives.
Living it up in the States, yes.
So they do get to see. In fact, on my last transport, one of the dogs was actually going to a friend of a friend. It just so happened.
Where
are you from? And then they happened to be, you know, one of my best friends, they happened to know. They were in the same town, so it was kind of neat.
Nice.
That's rewarding. And the other part is when I finally do get to New York, a lot of times, you know, besides the people that work tirelessly, you know, in the groups in the United States to get them and to home them, foster them, you know, sometimes the people who are adopting them are there. And, I mean, it's just something they've just been absolutely waiting for and are just so happy. And you can tell right away that this is just going to be a beautiful ending.
Right.
A very long story.
Right. And boy, was it.
Ooh. I know.
So really, I mean, based on what you're saying, I'm going to make it even longer. Based on what you're saying, you know, when we really sit back, look at the whole big picture, there's so many people involved. There's the people literally rescuing these dogs off the streets or from the woods, wherever it is they're found. The shelters and the people working in the shelters to rehabilitate those dogs, the veterinarians who are helping them, the vet techs all in Spain who are helping them, people donating from around the world, either monetarily or sending food and collars and blankets or whatever else is needed.
Oh, yeah. I cannot forget them. I bring over so many lovely things that people donate, and they just want to help. Blankets, collars, you know, OTC medicines, stuff like that they can use at the shelters, and it's always very, very warmly received and always very appreciated, as well as the donations and everything that make these, these rehabilitations happen.
So if someone wants to do transport, I imagine they need to be screened and to apply for something like that. Would they get in touch with Telma to discover how they could get involved? Okay.
Yeah, they could absolutely get in contact with Telma.
Okay, and I'll have Telma's contact information in the show notes of this episode so that they can get in touch with her. We'll also have a link to Telma's organization's website where you can learn more about Galgos and Podencos.
Pods.
And Ellen, congratulations on
thank you. Again,
your upcoming 25.
Small part of a huge picture. I appreciate that, but... Again, I thank everyone involved. Let me just kind of send those thanks on.
Okay.
Can I?
Yes, you can. I think you just did.
I insist on humility.
I'd like to thank everyone for my greatness.
Laugh your hardest at that.
Yeah, and, you know, I should have said this in the introduction. I kind of glossed over it. For 25 years? 25 years, Ellen has been involved in the rescue of greyhounds, and then the last, I think you said, like 10 years?
Oh, I say more like 6 or 7 years.
6 or 7 years.
Transports.
And has done unbelievable work in raising funds for dogs, in helping dogs that were medically in really bad shape and nursing them back to health.
Thank you.
In fostering, And also, you know, I have a new endeavor that I couldn't do without Ellen, who is my partner in that endeavor, with Candy Cane Rescue. And, you know, and then she's also doing all this great stuff with Galgo Podenco Support. So your plate is definitely full, and you continue to do great work. So thank congratulations on all of that. Thank you for being on the show, and talk to you in 5 minutes. Okay. Okay, everyone. So that concludes this episode. Thank you for putting up with both Ellen and I, in between Ellen, telling what is really a compelling story. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope we were able to make you laugh, and that you listened to the whole thing. And I will catch you on the next episode.